Welcome to Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. Pastor Dom went from a life of organized crime to federal prison. There, God saved him and set him free. Soon after his release, he attended seminary and received his master's degree and is now the senior pastor of Desert Sky Baptist Church, where he serves with a passion for biblical theology right here in Casa Grande. Now let's join our host, Pastor Dominic Grimaldi.
This is Street Talk Theology, where we take theology and bring it to the streets. Pastor Dominic Grimaldi here with the third part of our series on Genesis 43.
26 through 34. Then Joseph came home, and they brought into the house to him the present, which was in their hand, and bowed to the ground before him. And he asked them about their well-being and said, "Is your old father well? Of whom you spoke, is he still alive?" And they said, "Your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive." They bowed down and prostrated themselves. Then he lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. And he said, "Is this your youngest brother of whom you spoke to me?" And he said, "May God be gracious to you, my son." Then Joseph hurried out, and he was deeply stirred with compassion over his brother, and he sought a place to weep, and he entered his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, "Set the meal." And they set the meal, two more verses, so they set the meal for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. This is crazy stuff, but I'll explain it in a second. And they were seated before him, the firstborn. Now, think about this. This is huge, this section. And they were seated before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And then the men looked at one another in astonishment. And Joseph took the portions to them from his own table, put Benjamin's portion, was five times greater than any of theirs, so they feasted and drank freely with him. This is amazing stuff. Now watch this. A couple of things need to be brought to light. First, the bowing down of all the brothers bring the remembrance of the dream of Joseph, verse 26. The other thing we may mention, as Hamilton depicts, is that the gift was presented to Joseph was not important to him. But the welfare of his father is what's important, verse 27. Just think about this practically. There's always a challenge in our lives of what is first and foremost in our lives. Our priorities are challenged on many levels today. At times, much to our chagrin, our priorities may change, but let us be put into remembrance that God always should be our first priority. All else should pale in comparison to him. Joseph asked of his father's well-being, verse 27, and then the brothers let Joseph know that Jacob is alive, and again they prostrate themselves. Now, what's interesting concerning Joseph's earlier dream is that Jacob would also bow down to Joseph. Well, here, as Hamilton depicts, is a picture of that. Basically, when they bow down for the second time, they mention Jacob as Joseph's servant, so they are actually bowing down for Jacob. This would actually bring the dream to its actual fulfillment. But there's a lot here. In 29 and 30, there's some unusual circumstances, but there's irony here, too. So Joseph is singling out Benjamin and is actually instilling a blessing on him, is he not? This must have seemed odd to the brothers at this point, but something is building up. We'll get to it in a minute. There's something here. Now, in the meantime, Joseph weeps with compassion in his chamber, but composes himself, comes out, and demands the meal to be set. Think about this word compassion. That next week we're going to get into this. In verse 32, now think about this. I'm thinking about this. So Joseph comes out. He sets a table for him, a table for his brothers, and a table for the Egyptians. I think about this is what Italians used to do. Our families were so big. The Italians are like that. Because we have such big families, we have different tables. The kids would, and I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. Joseph eats by himself. The brothers got to eat by himself. And the Egyptians got it. What? This is some type of madness. The Egyptians don't want to eat with the Hebrews. Joseph don't sit at the same table with his brothers. I says, what the heck is going on here? Right? I mean, it's just interesting to me. I'm saying, what, you know, can't fit at the same table? And then Joseph gives five more portions to Benjamin. And it's not because Benjamin's a fat guy. That's not the reason, obviously. But the narrative is interesting. We have three different eating arrangements. Joseph eats at one table, his brothers eat at another, the Egyptians, who some superstition, eat alone. Now we're getting close to the challenge of this text. First off, the feeding comes before the seating, because the seating is important. Notice what Joseph does. He arranges the brothers in their birth order. And the brothers say, huh? What? See what the Bible says? They looked at it with astonishment, right? So Joseph actually seats them in their birth order. And the brothers are saying, how could he know that? I mean, they don't get it yet. But notice what the Bible says. And they were seated before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, the youngest according to use. And the men looked at another in astonishment. But there's a lot, there's more here, though. Notice that what Joseph does, he arranges the brothers in their birth order. The brothers are astonished. They must be saying, how can he know this? Eventually, later, this will all make sense, much later, not today. Because like we mentioned, we can only look back on providence, not ahead. But the most important part of this narrative has now arrived. Joseph, this is the, see, Joseph is the tester. So what does he do? Have my brothers really changed? I got an idea. I'm going to treat my brother Benjamin like my father Jacob treated me. So he's going to give Benjamin five more portions. Very interesting, right? Now watch this. I got to see how I wrote this because I Joseph gives his brother five times more than his other brothers. Will the brothers remember the reason that they despised Joseph? Remember, Jacob had treated Joseph with favor, and because of that, they sold him into slavery. Joseph received the extra coat. Now Benjamin receives the extra portions. But here, no jealousy is mentioned. The brothers feast with Joseph, and the brothers seem to be growing in grace, yet there's still one more test that had to be had. In the meantime, they all enjoy the supper. For some, the growth process in Christianity at times can be a slow process. We have to see, as we have seen, Paul himself coming from a Pharisaical background. But Paul, by way of conversion and learning about the grace of God over against the legalistic application of being accepted by God, became a preacher of righteousness. Thomas at one time doubted Christ and wanted to actually touch his wounds before believing that Christ rose from the dead. Thomas died a martyr's death. James and Jude, both being the Lord's brothers, had mocked him on his way to Jerusalem, but later believed us. Let us not forget Peter, who denied Christ three times, and he repented and became a better leader for it. So here, Joseph, and remember, God gave him a gift of ingenuity, of interpreting dreams. He says, let me see if my brothers really changed. They put me in a pit because I got an extra coat. So I'm going to give Benjamin some extra portions and see how they react. And they eat and they drink. Regeneration! It's the way God, listen, if you're struggling today, and maybe I don't know where people are in their lives. I don't know if some people are truly regenerate. I pray that everybody in this room is by God's grace. But here's the deal. God, in these slow processes, works. So man, praise God. He's the one. I mean, think about the brothers for a coat. They kill their brother. And now for the five extra portions of meal, praise God. Praise God. They don't say anything. They're just happy to be at the table. They're just happy to be at the table. And it's a great picture. Go to 2 Peter. Let's go to our New Testament control. Go to 2 Peter. Now who would know better than Peter? Now, you think about somebody who would know. You think about Peter. What did Peter do? And you know, he denied Christ 3 times. Who would know better than Peter about growing in the grace and knowledge of who God is? Really. Now I want to listen to this narrative. Simon, 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon and Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received the same, this is a gift, you see? Those who have received the same kind of faith as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the full knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Seeing that his divine power has granted, that's a gift, has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us, he's given to us his precious and magnificent promises, so by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Very important. Now for this reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence in your moral excellence, knowledge in your knowledge, self-control, self-control, perseverance in your perseverance, godliness in your godliness, brotherly kindness in your brotherly kindness, love. Period. For if these things are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in whom these things are not present, that one is blind, being nearsighted, having forgotten the purification from his former sins. Verse 10, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election or choosing sure, for in doing these things you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Now the question, this is a huge section of scripture. It's beautiful, written, especially when you know Peter's background. The question to this section of scripture, Joe, is this, is how a truly regenerate person lives out their life. The key verses are verses 3 and 4. As one is changed by God's divine power and become partakers of his divine nature. How does that happen? It's granted to you. It's a gift. It's something that's given to you. And again, if this is the case, here's the human responsibility. There's a growth process that Peter will describe for us. That's why Joseph is watching and waiting and testing to see if there's a true heart change that's taken place in the 10 brothers. In fact, one expositor has established there's a staircase of virtues that one will exhibit. Verses 5 through 7. If God has really done this work that was established in 3 and 4. God does the work. You can't exhibit the works because even the works are a gift. Even the works, according to Ephesians 2, your good works are a gift, and they only can be established is if God has what? Granted you the gift of salvation. With that being said, one must be diligent to climb this staircase, which starts with faith and ends in love. So again, it's a process that by grace we continue to grow in the Spirit, which eventually happened with Peter. Now, I don't have time to exegete this whole section of Scripture, but this section of Scripture is not talking about works righteousness. It's saying that true believers will live a godly life. But it took the brothers many, many years, right? With that being said, the stages of these growth processes may be different for each person. But true salvation, Terry, eventually will show these virtues in a Christian walk. And again, I'm using a New Testament control to show that we're starting to see a growth process in Joseph's brothers, which eventually must come to fruition. They've been on the run from God, but he's the great hound of heaven, bringing them back into the fold because of his compassion on his people. Remember, great is his faithfulness. Right now, it's not a finished work for them. But it's a movement in the right direction. But we should also be moving in the right direction, making our calling and election sure by, now watch this, by escaping the world's corruption. And that to me is the key verse. It does not mean, now what does it mean to escape the world's corruption? Because that's a, think about that verse. Think about that. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. In other words, we should not be buying into the world system, which is governed by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. If you are a Christian, he's delivered you from that. He's delivered you from that mindset. Notice the brothers were delivered from the mindset of jealousy towards the one brother of Joseph. So do you understand when you're delivered from the world's corruption, you're delivered from the ideologies of the world, which is the lust of the flesh and the eyes and the pride of life, which John talks about. What a picture. That's what you're delivered from. And that's a gift that God has given you. This is the world's... Think about what Peter is saying. He's saying now the world is corrupt because they've given you a false message. The message of the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. Get all you can. Get the best job you can. Get all the money you want. Store it in a bank. Do all that. That's what this is about. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. And that's what you get delivered from when you become a Christian. And that to me, and that's what's happening with the brothers. See, the brothers were all about that. They wanted the coat that Joseph had. But they don't care about the five portions now that Benjamin's getting because they're just happy to be at the table. They're just happy to be at the table. Praise God for that. They're just happy to be at the table. And so here Peter says, he says this, he says, because the Apostle John depicts the world and its system is passing away. Joseph wants to share with his brothers a higher calling, which can only be realized when there is true heart change. And because of that mindset, according to Schreiner, these virtues that have been mentioned should be existing and increasing in one's life because of an instilled divine work. And because of this, we will enjoy a rich welcome, verse 11, into God's kingdom. And for Joseph's brothers, they will eventually enjoy a rich welcome into Egypt, for where God will supply their needs through Joseph. Now listen, guys, hear this. We're all works in progress, me first. But the key word is progress. Let us hope by God's grace that we're making progress in the things of God by the Spirit. For it is God who puts in us to do his good pleasure. Let us continue to work out what has been worked in by grace. Christianity is a life lived out. But here's my encouragement to you. He, Christ, had to be made like his brothers in all things so that he, Christ, might become a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of his people. For since he himself was tempted in all things for that which he suffered, he's able to help those who are tempted. That is why when you're struggling, when sin seems to be taking a hold of you, please know that you can go to him. He's the anchor of our soul. He keeps us grounded. He is the Lord of our salvation. He knows our frame. He's able to help us in our time of need. He came down for us who knew no sin but became sin so we can become the righteousness of God in Christ. This is a clarion call not to get discouraged. Be encouraged because Christ tells us, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's pleasure to give you his kingdom. Micro flock, little flock, remnant. praise God, and it's his pleasure to give you his kingdom. Are you kidding? His pleasure to give you his kingdom. Not a meal, which he does, but he gives you his kingdom that has no end. That's why I started and I said, Harlan, who's 75 years old, is younger than the 20-year-old who does not believe in Christ right now in their life. Because that kingdom has no end, and he's given it to you by way of gift. Gift. What can you buy? What could you give God for his kingdom? Nothing. Zero. He gives it to you because he's had compassion on you. A compassion that I don't deserve. And a compassion that you don't deserve. But a compassion that he gives freely for his people. What a picture of grace. That's grace. That's grace. That's why it says, by grace you have been saved. Not of anything you do, but of everything that he does. Go out and preach the gospel. Give him grace. Give him Christ. And pray God the Holy Spirit just rips their heart open and they acknowledge the true Savior. And to deliver them from the corruption of this world. In Jesus' name, let's stand. Lord, how do we know the hearts of people? We don't know. We sometimes don't even know our own heart. But the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who could know it? But we're so grateful for the compassion you have on your people. And the issue is we don't know who your people are. And that's the beauty of this. That's why Paul can say, I plant, Apollos waters, but God grants the increase. But we need to be planting and watering. That's our job. If we've been truly saved by the grace that God has freely given us, man, we need to preach the gospel. We need to go out and tell people about you. And yes, we have to live a life according to our witness, for sure. But we're not always going to get it right. We're all works in process. We're all like pieces of clay on a potter's wheel, being shaped, being molded. God didn't let go of his people even after 26, 30 years that they were struggling. He was there with them, shaping them and molding them. Taking one of his people and putting them in prison for many years so that person can shape and mold and bring the family where they needed to be. What a God we serve. And Moses, in writing this, is writing it to a real congregation and saying, look at what God has done to our forefathers. And these are our forefathers. And now we look back on this and know who the true, who the second Adam was, meaning Christ. And Jesus got this right for us. Praise God for that. So, Lord, tonight, today, this morning, whatever it is, afternoon, Lord, if somebody's struggling in their heart and they don't know where they're at, oh, Lord, be the great hound from heaven and give them that spirit to let them acknowledge their sin before you. Because the Bible says if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. He's a good God. And you know what? There's room at that table. There's room at that table. Only by God's grace there's room at that table. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Let us sit for a minute, contemplate, and then we'll sing out.
Pastor Dominic Grimaldi with Street Talk Theology. Hope you enjoyed the 3-part sermon series on Genesis 43. Hope it convicted you and challenged you and also encouraged you.
thank you for joining us for Street Talk Theology with Pastor Dominic Grimaldi. You can visit Pastor Dom at Desert Sky Baptist Church at 891 West Corson Road, Casa Grande. And for more information, visit us online at www.desertskybaptist.org.